the James Suckling Podcast. Wine ratings, reports, interviews, and more.
Hi, Tara.
Hello. How's 2022 looking to be? How's the harvest going?
Very good. Beautiful quality. I'm very positive about the quality of 2022. It's a lower yielding vintage, so that that's good because you know that the leaf area to fruit ratio is very good. So it's like you have like fruit themed vineyards. So very, very nice quality, nice tannin, very high quality tannins, and a lot of color, you know, just natural color, beautiful. So when we are doing all the cold soaking in the reds and the colors and the are amazing. Lower yield, of course, that explains part of the high quality that we are getting. And also it's a good climate vintage. That's very, very nice. So, we are quite positive about the season.
Excellent. Very exciting. Thanks for taking the time out of harvest, even though it's at night, to taste some of these wines together.
No. So thank you for your time. And I know that you have been tasting most of our wines from the different wineries. I am the vineyard and the winemaking director for Trapiche. But my background, of course, is in the ground, you know, studying soils, climate, designing vineyards, planting vineyards, and now I'm in charge also of the winemaking team. So trying to think more about the terroir and the terroir winemaking. So we're working quite hard with all the team, trying to, you know, to produce the best wine that reflect the sites and the terroir. I know that, you know, when you taste it, we need to concentrate. So let me know what you need about the terroir or the time of the year, and I can explain.
Yeah, just a brief overview about the vintage, and then about the specific terroir, because these are all the terroir series. So I'd be quite interested in when Trapiche decided to start the terroir series, how it collected all the vineyards over time. And also in general, because it's been up and coming over the last few years in Argentina, more producers focusing on single terroir, single parcel, single vineyard. When do you think that all started, and when did Trapiche start doing that?
Okay, great. Yes, we started with this project in 2003. I arrived to Trapiche in 2004, so I was from the beginning working in this project. So the idea at that time was, as you said, perfectly said, that we were trying to show that the one from Argentina, but not just from the soils and the climate, but also from the history, the story behind the vineyard. That's why we choose among our growers the three best Malbecs. Then that could change every year, but then we decided to keep the same growers that, you know, the quality was very consistent year after year. But the idea was not just showing the soil and the climate, but also the story of the growers behind the vineyard, because as you know that the mind behind the vineyard is very important in the word expression. So in our team, in the culture team, we try to follow and to make some advice to the growers, but we like to keep the grower to have the own experience and express the vineyard owner expression of the terroir, the wine. So that's why we put the name of the grower in the bottle. And I always said that the growers in Argentina deserve a lot of credit for the Malbec, because we will take some Malbec from 60, 74 years old. At that time, in the Malbec, to have Malbec in your vineyard was a very bad business.
In which vintage, sorry?
At that time, when these growers decide to plant Malbec in their vineyard. It was not a good business to have Malbec. You know, it was the best vineyard was to have high-yielding grapes in your vineyards, but they were sure that Malbec was the variety that best expressed the climatic expression of that site. So they deserve to have the name of the growers in the bottle. So it's a kind of tribute to the Argentina small growers. Most of them with European heritage, you know, were Italians, they made Italians. So we at that time, we were really, today, very proud to have the name of the grower in the bottle. It's not the Trapiche vineyard, it's the grower vineyard. And regarding the whites there, the first wine that is 30% Chardonnay, coming from Las Piedras vineyard. That vineyard is very special for us. It's a small alluvial fan from Los Olmos Creek. Los Olmos Creek is developed a very small alluvial fan. It's the only vineyard planted in that alluvial fan. It's in Turjan, 1300 meters above sea level. And it's very close to the frontal mountain. So that place received some humidity and cloudy condition from the Pacific. So that vineyard is almost a semi dry farm vineyard because sometimes we irrigate 2-3 times during the season. Right. You know that in Argentina we have to irrigate, but that vineyard need very little of water because the root system is very, very deep. Because of the, you know, all the stones are mixed, the soil profile. So the root system can follow the matrix of the soil between the rocks and can go very deep and look for water very deep in the soil. And also that cloudy condition, some rain coming from the Pacific, they have to manage with very low irrigation that site.
And how is the production for 2020? So, I mean, obviously 18, 19 and 20 were a trio of really great years. How did it compare to the other two? And do you have a favorite out of the three?
That's difficult question, the favorite, but I will take last or clear. But, you know, 18, 19, and 20 were wonderful vintage, quite different. This is a 2020 vintage. Was a warmer vintage, mainly during the springtime. It was very short vintage because the production was quite low, as well as 2022. But it was a warmer spring, so you have very nice growth of the canopy. And then in February, you have more a normal change. But it was a warmer vintage, so the picking moment was very key. Was a key decision. In the Chardonnay, we try to pick in three different ripening moment. You know, we pick at 21.5 degrees fresher in order to have, you know, very nice acidity and
how many bricks? Sorry.
And 21.5 the first picking moment, then 22.5 the second. And the third one with 23.5. So, because each of the picking moment you have, you know, you can have different aroma compounds there, and different acidity.
It's wonderful and rich and generous, but still very, very elegant and very fresh and very balanced.
Yeah,
and I guess that could be explained because you go through it three times and you start at the lower bricks for the acidity, the freshness, and then build up to the more riper tropical fruit notes.
You are right. And it was key in that vintage that was warmer than average. So, because when you have low production in the warmer climate, of course, that the ripening process is very fast. So, in that vintage was very a key decision to have. Yeah, or to pick in three different moments. That was a very good decision of all the team to do that.
Let's move to El Tomillo Chardonnay.
Perfect. Perfect. Well, this el Tomillo is in Guadalajara, and you know that are different Guadalajara, you know the district, the Guadalajara district. This is this vineyard is located in the middle part of Guadalajara, where the highest calcium carbonate content of the soil. That part of Guadalajara will become, when the IG is approved, in Algo Guadalajara, because the high calcium carbonate content in the soil.
Oh, it's beautiful. It's more complex. It's got this mineral and smoky character. There's like flint, there's seashells, there's ripe and dried fruit. And I guess that's the terroir speaking.
You're right. You know, we try to make, you know, the precise viticulture we're making. We just want to show the site in the
and then do you these two Chardonnays, even though they're from different areas, do you use the same winemaking technique, same time in barrel, or are they different?
No, we change a little bit the barrels. You know, we hand pick, of course, this one, all this wine are hand pick. We press up to 600 millibars. So then we put all the juice, we settle the juice to around 200 NTU turbidity. We try there to oxidize all the polyphenolics in that stage. And then we start all this wine yeast here. We don't use any selected yeast in other wines, and also the Chardonnay. We start the fermentation process. And when the fermentation process starts, we move to barrels and to fullers to just keep going with the fermentation and finish fermentation there. We do in that way because we don't want to have a bit of temperature in the barrel. So we can handle better the temperature fermentation if we start the fermentation in concrete tanks, in concrete baths, or in the same still. So then we ferment in fullness and barrels. And then we keep, of course, in over release, because that gives you, you know, all this velvety and just an elegant, creamy profile.
Great. Shall we move on to the reds?
Yes, perfect.
I guess we can start with the 2021 oak cask.
Perfect. Well, this Malbec there is coming from Luján de Cuyo, was in the first growing area in Mendoza, the most traditional growing areas in Mendoza, are coming from different regions, landed, I should say, between 800 meters sea level to 1100 meters sea level. So it's in the
800 meters to how high, sorry?
800 meters and 1100 meters above sea level. Mainly the salt types there are more silty low, because in that part of Luján de Cuyo is more silty. Series of the low salt types, so our good soils, looking for an expression of the red fruit of Malbec. So it's fruit driven, but at the same time, because we use some American oak in the Malbec. He said, you know, $10 all on retail retail price of this wine. So it's a, you know, very nice wine for that price range. It's a pretty good expression of what is Malbec for Argentina and for the first growing area.
Very soft, very ripe and soft and round.
Yes.
Very drinkable.
Yeah, very drinkable. That's the idea of this wine there. Yeah.
Mm. This is sold as oak cask in the States and then Reserva in the rest of the world?
Yes, it's under the same label. And in US market, that is our main market for that wine, is $9.99 retail.
Okay, I have I have Finca Orellana.
Okay, Orellana is a vineyard located in La Consulta. This vineyard is the oldest vineyard of the old Terroir series in Malbec. That vineyard is around 70 years old, 70 plus years old. So it's like 74 years old, something like that. It's a very old vineyard. It's the traditional way that the immigrants planted Malbec in Argentina. So it's a kind of a European style of vineyard. It's a low PSP, vertical soil positioning, but very, very low, high density vineyard.
I love the nose of this. It's like much more darker fruit, like dark plums, blueberries, like even like some charred bark and tobacco. And I get this like a bit of dill, so like slight herbs, but like darker herbs.
I agree. I totally agree with your comments. It's kind of inky style of Malbec.
Fascinating. Less of the bright red juicy fruit. It's more darker and
when we sent to you the Coleto, that is coming from El Peral, you will find a different profile. You know, more to the red fruit profile in the Coleto, because that soil has more silt content than horizontal soil. So you have a more slow ripening, more gentle ripening in El Peral. And also in El Peral, this vineyard that is around 60 years old received a little bit of shade from El Peral Hills. So it's very cool for El Peral Hills. So they received the afternoon a little bit of shade from that from those hills. So it's a different profile, fresher, more red fruit.
Okay, now I have Ambrosia. So here I do get some more fresh red fruit on the nose for this. So dark cherries, but also some raspberries, some strawberries. And also some mineral notes, some slate, stones. And a little bit of lemon zest as well. So a bit of a fragrant citrus. Wow. Compared to Orellana, the tannins are quite a bit firmer, still very, very fine, but they're much more present. There's more structure to this.
Totally. You have that really, really tannins, you know, in your tongue, and it's beautiful. A fresh tannin, you know.
Yeah, it's also quite tight and compact. There's a very clear structure to this wine.
Yes, very focused wine, and, you know, and it's fresh in it is very, very complex wine.
Yeah. If anything, I think this would need a couple more years before fully opening up.
Yeah.
I had a question about what your opinion on the future of Argentina in terms of varieties. Because Malbec is amazing. It's suited to all these terroirs, it's beautiful. But do you think with global warming you're going to see more and more of the Cabernets, Cabernet Sauvignon, Cabernet Franc, being planted? Do you think those will become more popular?
Well, that's a very important question, difficult to answer. I think that we have a lot of potential in Cabernet Sauvignon. I am a fan of Cabernet Sauvignon. I have studied a lot of Cabernet Sauvignon. When I did my master thesis in UC Davis, I worked with Cabernet Sauvignon in Napa in Tucanamon property. That is a kind of magic vineyard there, and I had the chance to work with irrigation, different trellis system in Cabernet. Cabernet is a variety that reacts a lot according to the match. know, if you irrigate a little bit more, your quality decrease. If you stretch too much, you wouldn't have very hard tanning, harsh tanning. So it's a variety that is beautiful to manage in the vineyard. We have the climate, soil for Cabernet Sauvignon. I think that we need to put more focus on Cabernet. All of our expertise have been put in Malbec, trying to find the best spot and working in the winery, in the vineyard. But Cabernet needs, in my opinion, much, much more attention than Malbec, because this sensitivity to much, you know, to yield, to irrigation. As I said, Malbec, you have to irrigate not too much or not the stress, but Cabernet likes more the stress. We have to work a lot with clonal material as well. We have been working with some clones like 412, 412 from Bordeaux, and 169 clones. I think that we have a lot of potential in Cabernet Sauvignon. Cabernet Franc is like, feel very, very, very good in Argentina. It's like the best companion for partner for Malbec.
Okay. I have the Malbec and Cabernet Franc.
Yes.
This guy.
Okay, this is our, as you know, this is our most loved wine in Abidje, and we have been working very, very strong trying to craft the best sky. We have been working in order to produce any kind of wines that can reflect the sky. The Malbec is coming from Guadalajara as well, because we get that texture of tanning that we are looking for, that first tanning, that complexity, focused wine, with a bit very nice meat palate as well. And then the Cabernet Franc is coming from a vineyard that we haven't tasted any wine from that vineyard, that is a Milagro vineyard.
So which vineyard?
It's in the Milagro vineyard. The Cabernet Franc is coming from that vineyard. It is in the San Carlos department. It's in Eugenio Bustos. You know that in that area, the Turjao River, developed two different alluvial farms. The newer alluvial farm, that is where is Altamira located, and then the oldest alluvial farm from Turjao River. This vineyard is located in the oldest alluvial farm with very high calcium carbonate content there. And of course, in that vineyard, with fruit thing, we keep just one cluster per shoot. We make a very precise vineyard management in the Cabernet Franc. And around 30% of the blend is Cabernet Franc. So Eugenio Bustos is the Cabernet Franc, and Guadalajara is the Malbec.
So you said it was 30% Cabernet Franc in the blend.
Right.
Complex and perfumed on the nose, so both red and blue and black fruits, some currants. Again, I get a little bit of that citrus zest, a bit of orange zest, which
yes.
I love.
That is from the what does it?
It's beautifully textured, so the tannins are very fine but very present, and I love this like supple, caressing texture to it. And I'm noticing I'm tasting the 2019 for the Syrah, but we tasted the 2018 for the Malbec and Cabernet Franc. Do you keep it for longer in barrel, in foudre, or in bottle before releasing? Less time for the Syrah and more time for the Malbec.
Okay, the Syrah we use foudres for aging the wine, and because of the tiny structure of the sky, Malbec, Cabernet Franc is that we keep more time in the bottle for Malbec, Cabernet Franc. 2018 and 2019 was regarding timing, should say that it was a kind of a normal year regarding climatic condition for the 2018 and 2019. Both year in March has a quite good decrease of temperature in March. 2018 was slightly cooler than 2018, but just very slightly cooler. It was kind of normal climatic condition. As we were discussing, 2020 was warmer, 18, 19, 17 was kind of normal climatic condition. 2016 was kind of cooler, was the cooler justification for being in Argentina.
Wonderfully perfumed. I remember you saying the white pepper notes coming through, definitely, along with black peppercorns as well. And some herbs and some olives. Lovely savory notes on the nose here.
Yeah, and you know that Syrah is a kind of ionic variety as well. So regarding the nutrition, during fermentation, we try to encourage some of the theonic expression in Syrah. So regarding nutrition, we use kind of the same strategy as Sauvignon Blanc probably.
The tannins are just seamless and like melting into the fruit. Marcello, it was wonderful to meet you and talk to you. Thank you. And I hope we get to meet in person sometime soon.
Of course, for me it was a pleasure to meet you.
Thanks again. Have a wonderful evening.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye. Have a nice day.